We just send them a link. We press record. They chat, and that's it. They require nothing but a browser and a mic and whatever.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome back to the Design Huddle. So today, I thought we could kind of, you know, talk about, you know, the seven best websites like that you probably don't know of, that you've never heard of, that can kind of help with growing your podcast, YouTube channel, personal brand, anything in between. So I stumbled on some of these. I saw a handful of these on TikTok. Saw some of these as YouTube creators have recommended, and I think there's one or two that you probably have heard of, but I just want to talk through the value of them. So that's today's episode, the best websites that you probably have never heard of that will help you grow your small business and personal brand. But before that, Mustafa, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm fully vaccinated.
We need some sort of buzzer that we can hit to get everyone. That's great news. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm always kind of reluctant to talk. Well, I'm all right. I was always reluctant to say anything because I think one of the chat, I've seen people posting stuff on social media saying, oh, but in fact, it's like, it's kind of, I don't know. I'm finding it a bit to be a bit crass, especially that the vaccine isn't in every country. So it's almost like boasting about something. I don't know. But yeah, no, I'm feeling all right. I was a bit exhausted after the first one, but yeah, no, it's good.
Yeah, I feel, I mean, just on that note, I feel super fortunate that we have the option. People in other places are really struggling to have the option to get a vaccination. So
yeah,
let's hope that the progress continues because it's been great to see the U.S. slowly getting back to normal. I know some European countries have made great strides as well. So, let's dive into it. So today, first one I wanted to talk about is Veed.io. So it's Veed.io. And one of the most annoying parts of content creation, but important parts of content creation is creating subtitles. Subtitles for a lot of reasons are very important. One, just, you know, obviously it's great for accessibility. Two, people are more and more in situations where they can't actually, you know, listen to audio. Example, on a subway, don't have headphones, but you still want to consume content. If you don't have subtitles, you're basically immediately shutting off that user group. So Veed, I don't know if I'm saying it right, it's V-E-E-D-I-O, is a video editing software. I think they give you a free trial, but it helps you create videos with a single click. You can add subtitles, transcribe audio, and you can actually do a lot more. So Mustafa, I know you have been kind of the mastermind genius behind editing a lot of our YouTube videos. So I wanted to pick your brain. Do you see a tool like this helpful? First off, and number two, what's the most painful part of like editing videos for you right now?
Okay, I think the name is Video, but they've done it's Veed.io, so they've tried to make the claim on video.
Oh yeah, that's really what it is. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's supposed to be said video. I'm just reading it like an idiot. It's supposed to be like video.
No, it's because it's V-E-E-D.io, right? So it's video. Anyways, the interesting thing with like video, it's like, because the tool that we use, is called Riverside to record the podcast. So it records video and audio, so which I think we should add to the list as well. But, the videos record separately. So I think one of the hard parts is combining them together, but Riverside allows you an automated way to do that. The only challenge is if there's any gaps in the video or like sometimes we've had technical problems where one of our things don't work, then stitching stuff together becomes a bit harder. So it's like having the video side by side surprisingly is a pain. I've been using iMovie to do that at times, but then iMovie is very basic, you know, in terms of video editing. But for most simple stuff, it works. And then another tool I've been using is OpenShot Video Editor, which is a lot more like a proper video editor, but it's like free as well. So, yeah, most of these tools are quite hard when you feel like hard getting into an understanding to begin with. So something like a simple editor, like on like video or Vid.io, whatever we're going to call it, is really, really cool. Anything that's web-based, that really helps. I think a lot of the tools are now moving to be purely web-based. In terms of like, subtitles, I've noticed now what YouTube does is when you're scrolling videos, like the sort of like recommendations, if you pause on one of the recommendations, it'll start playing, but with subtitles. So you can actually read it without listening to any audios. And that's actually quite nice. So you can watch the first few minutes to see whether you're actually interested in the subject. So, yeah, I think this is a really good tool. Anything that just makes it really simple for content creation. I suppose the danger of these kind of tools is it means everyone starts creating content. And then, but then I suppose that's the difference between high quality and low quality. But, you know, I like the fact that you can adjust contrast and it seems that you can add imagery and stuff into this. So it's more than just adding subtitles and transcribing audio. It seems a lot more than just that, like simple video editing.
Yeah, I mean, so originally, like, I was looking for good subtitle solutions, but they do a ton of stuff. I mean, they help you cut video for social, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, etc., which is a huge pain point. So yeah. I work with a lot of content creators, and one of the most challenging thing is if you're a YouTuber and you want to cut your video and put it in portrait, there's a lot of editing that has to go in place to, to basically repurpose that content, to push to social, cut it down to different lengths. So anywhere you can have, like, I think the ideal solution for content creators is you create like one high quality version of it, and then you can chop it down and basically export it to the different social platforms. So it kind of fits that model. And there's like the least amount of like editing and additional work that needs to happen. Because you can imagine that if you're writing to Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube, like that's, you know, five different platforms that you're creating content for. So having one place, the kind of one central piece of content that you're chopping up and repurposing is like, you know, the right way to do it. So yeah, video is a site that kind of I just stumbled upon. I'm going to kind of test it out over the next week, but I think that's a really good one to start with.
One thing to note is, like just looking at the price plans, it's generally free, like just to upload videos. Obviously there's limitations, but if you actually want to do the branded stuff, so I think there's like branding tools. I think this is what's like making custom watermarks and stuff like that. That's when you actually have to pay for like the pro version, which it seems to be £18 a month now. They've got like a deal on, which I think it might be $25 a month. So yeah, I mean, I think if you're going to do like professional things on a regular basis, it's worth checking out. It'll be definitely worth checking out the free one, but I'd like to try. I mean, it's a shame. I wonder if the tool actually allows you to try out the brand tools, but doesn't allow you to publish them, just to see if it works. But yeah, no, it's worth checking out. I think this is quite an interesting tool.
Video. Yeah. All right. So number two, I think I sent to you as conversion.io, but the one I want to talk about is actually conversion.ai. And this tool is kind of unreal. So I really want to dive into this one. So
how are we pronouncing this? Is it conversionia?
Well, all of these, like, yeah, I mean, conversion.ai is what I think it is, because it's basically this tool called Jarvis, and Jarvis uses AI and I guess like I would imagine some sort of like machine learning to write high quality copy for ads, emails, websites, blogs, etc. So this is something that we're going to test. We're going to see who's better at writing blog posts, Mustafa, myself, or versus the robots and the machines. Which I have a feeling the machines are 100% going to win. But
you want us to sign up right now and try, or do this offline?
Yeah, we should. I mean, I'm definitely signing up for this one. But they do a ton of stuff. But the reason I was kind of excited to check this out is this was really popular. I fell down like a TikTok rabbit hole of content creation. And a lot of people do this for like just like, you know, branding. So they pump out articles, but this helps you like auto-generate a lot using top keywords. So I thought this was just like a really interesting way to, you know, write copy, because writing gets difficult and it can be really hard to, you know, just keep, continue to think of ideas to write with. So even if this gave you like a, you know, some sort of kickstart to get the blog post written, I think this is a really cool tool. So I'm going to sign up and test it out, but I wanted to get your thoughts. Do you think that, what I'm curious is, do you think you'll be able to tell that this is not written by a human, or do you think it's going to come across as a little bit too stale, or do you think that it's seen enough examples that it's going to come across as fairly human?
Well, as you're talking, I was trying to sign up. It looks like you have to pay to actually use it. So it'll be interesting to actually see a demo before you actually to understand how it actually works or suggests these things.
Yeah, we can pull it up on YouTube too, because there's a conversion.ai service. If you just search that.
So I'm just looking at the link. It says Boss Mode. Turn on Boss Mode to activate the control of AI and write 2 times faster. The thing is, it's like, what is the language that they're basing it on? Is it like American English, English? That would be interesting to see. I mean, there's a tool that GitHub released recently, where what Microsoft, who now owns GitHub, did was they looked at all of the public repos to create bare autocomplete for coding. And so some developers have found this really amazing. Like, you know, there's some controversy that it's like basing its patterns on other people's code, but you know, that's a separate issue, I guess. But it's an interesting thing where you auto completing not just like the words as you might get when now you see writing apps do that, but actually completing entire sentences and maybe even a paragraph based on previous things that you've written or similar things that other people have written. I suppose if it's like an explainer type article where you're trying to explain like a complicated thing in simple language, something like that can be quite helpful, because having analogies might be simple for you to understand, but not necessarily for like your wide audience. But I think when it comes to, say, like if you're writing a novel or something that's more emotive, emotional based, I'm not sure if a tool like this would actually be useful, if it will make you write in a way that doesn't feel natural to you.
Yeah, that's kind of my concern too, is that if you're going after a broad audience on a topic that just does like an explainer, it probably works well. But yeah, I guess like the whole value prop of the tool is high quality copy. So I would love to see some examples. So we'll have to do a little bit more digging on this one, but if you want to check it out, it's called conversion.ai, and the gist of it is
Jarvis
that it
obviously
helps you...
is a reference. So yeah, Jarvis what? Is obviously a reference. So Jarvis is obviously a reference to Iron Man, right?
Is Iron Man or Bicentennial Man?
Jarvis is the AI in Iron Man's AI, right? Or like who becomes Vision? Isn't it Jarvis?
Sounds right. I figure. I mean, Jarvis. I feel like that's used a ton for like. Yeah, I'm not sure what the Maybe. Origin of it is.
Anyways.
yeah. So the next one is I thought it was super. It's a super cool concept for a website. So if you just go to goodsalesemails.com, it's just exactly what the domain is. And you might be thinking to yourself, why would I ever need this? But if you're a startup or a small business and you're trying to think of like interesting, compelling copy to increase, you know, open rate, CTA, but you know, like clicks on your CTAs within your emails, it basically will show you an entire company's email marketing campaign, which you're probably thinking, I get emails all the time, but some of these are actually very catchy. And like the way the emails are framed probably would make me a little bit more compelled to read it or respond or engage. So I personally think I am not very good at writing these type of emails. doing outreach as a small business, like salesy emails can come across like pretty terribly and land pretty like poorly.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for examples of how startups that probably have, you know, marketing and branding experts writing these, it's a great repository of sample emails.
Yeah. I mean, I often look at the person sending it first. I mean, I'm starting to see some of these companies writing the subject line a bit like a BuzzFeed article, where they'll say, "Have you seen him?" And I'll be like, "What the?" And then you open it and it's not even related to anybody. So it's like they're trying to catch you in. And I find those things a bit more insulting. But yeah, no, they're having a proper strategy for email campaigns. Surprisingly, there was a designer who wrote a typography book, which name eludes me. He was trying to produce this book online. It's free to read, but it was basically opened up donations to see if it would make any money whatsoever. And what he found was having a newsletter and getting people go right directly to the website worked much better than social media. And having a newsletter which people subscribe to converted about, and he made the same amount of money that he would have made had he gone to like a big publisher, like, you know. So newsletters obviously work, especially if you're a business, like building up like a personal relationship with people who are directly interested. So I think having, say, like 1,000 people sign up to your newsletter who will actually buy into whatever it is that you're selling is much more meaningful than having 1,000, like 100,000 who don't, and maybe 3 might click on a link that you share. So yeah, and I think this is, it's good having that. Again, I'd be more cautious about using these templates verbatim. I think you can take this as a starting point and maybe customize your own one.
I would definitely encourage, you know, writing your own. I think the thing that I think is the most helpful is the structure of the emails. How long are they? What's the opening? What's the first sentence? How do they close? What imagery do they use? Those type of things, I think, are what you should take away. The other is that an email campaign. Most people have obviously sent hundreds, thousands of emails in their career, but an email campaign is a much more targeted approach. How long was it between emails? You know, what's the difference between the first email, the second email, and the third email? Like that type of like strategy, I don't think is like definitely not taught in business school. A lot of it is self-taught and just like trial and error. So the reason I thought this was interesting is that if you're trying to, for example, create your newsletter for the first time and increase readership, you can kind of play around with like how you're wording your first email versus your second email versus your third email. So I'm a big fan of like repositories like this. So like there's a ton of design tools that do this as well. They like take all of the icon, free icon libraries from across the web, and they put it all in one place. Like I love repositories like that. So you can kind of pick and choose as you go. So great, it's free resource. That one's called Good Sales Emails. Anything else, Mustafa?
No, just like, I was looking at one of them, say SurveyMonkey. And so like the way the website's got it formats on day 0, the first thing that you send to them. Day 4, you might a follow up. Day 10, another follow up. Day 15, day 21. 26, 33, like SurveyMonkey obviously has a pattern where they'll give some time in between. Although, say like day 0, it's like, thank you for watching a quick demo. Love to get your feedback. If you have 10 minutes to chat, and it's like details of the sales representative. Then day 4, it's like, just following up on the last email, are you interested to learn more? See, I don't know if I haven't responded, something like that would make possibly annoy me, but then I'm unique, right? And then like later on, it's like, you know, I've sent you a few emails but I haven't heard back.
If you think about it, they're just trying to close leads, right? So it's like,
yeah,
to them, you're either going to be a potential customer or you're a lost cause and they'll move on from. But I guess like there's like probably a sales tactic that says like you need to try X number of times before someone actually like, you know, will try your product or service, for example.
Like, I'm not an expert in this field, so clearly SurveyMonkey, who know what they're doing, especially when it comes to email, they've obviously had some kind of uplift as a result of doing this. So there may be something in there that works. And obviously for a big company, you cast the largest net, wide net possible. And, you know, if you can raise your sales by 10%, that's quite huge. So, but anyways, let's move on to the next one.
Yeah. Next one is called Pixel Hunter. It's a free AI image resizer for all social media. So I think we all know that like cropping each and every image across for each platform can get like really time consuming. So I finally found one catch-all website that can kind of, you upload one image and then it'll cut it based on the platform. So whether it's YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, LinkedIn, Pinterest, like it'll do it for you. So like, for example, a good example is like for just Facebook, take one platform, right? You upload an image and there's a lot of different things you would need. One is your profile picture. The next is your image post. So what does the hero image look like of a particular article, for example? And then the third is like a cover photo. Those dimensions are all different. This will do it automatically for you. So it's cropping thoughtfully each image. Same with Instagram, right? It's everyone has gone through the struggle of trying to have a photo optimized for the square in-feed post versus stories post. There's nuances there. So this will help do it out of the box. I can imagine that this saves a ton of time, and I think it's kind of cool that you just upload one high quality photo and it does all the magic behind the scenes. Have you seen anything like this, Mustafa?
No, well, I mean, there's a tool which I designed called Squoosh, which was basically image compression. So, I mean, I think if you were to tie like something like that, like Photoshop or Squoosh to this, because basically this is about production, right? If you're producing content, you want to make it as quickly as possible. And so if you're able to upload an image somewhere, like produce the image, and then when you export it, it automatically sends it to this service, which produces all, and then you just have a folder. And even taking it one step further, that this app is connected to all of your social media apps, then with one button, the moment you press, okay, I like this image, I've edited it, whatever, I press export, everything else is done automated. And then you can go to each platform and just confirm if you want, or just automatically post if you're confident with it. So yeah, this would actually save you time. But I feel like there's like one step that's missing, where like it, the bit for creating the image should be connected to this, and then the actual uploading of the image. Because I think, imagine you just upload any image, and then it will produce like, you know, this, it says 102 sizes we support. So presumably you download a folder, right?
Well, the one thing you mentioned too, which is actually a good point, is that this is just, it sounds like it's just like cropping and cutting the photos based on the dimensions.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it's actually optimizing the images, like doing like lossless compression, for lack of a better word, making an image file smaller so it loads faster. So that would be like kind of a something else I would want to know more about, is like, if we actually uploaded an image, does it getting smaller, or is it literally just cutting it to fit the dimensions for the platform?
Yeah, I think in terms of file size, unless you're posting it on your own sites or within your own apps, presumably Facebook, TikTok, and Twitter and such will actually have a system when images are uploaded to optimize them anyway. So you probably don't have to worry about that. However, if you're using it on your own things, that is something to consider. But yeah, I mean, again, this is like how to save you time, because all that's really changing is the dimensions. It'll be interesting to see like if it's clever enough to get the if there's like a person in a picture and if it centers them, or is it just basically from the middle doing a rough crop? Because from the example images that they have, it looks like that's how it's doing it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, but get anything that helps save you time. If you're a content creator, then stuff like this is really good, because you need to do this. And the dimensions of, like you mentioned before, Instagram and YouTube are quite stark. And so once you commit to one platform, it's really hard to convert that content to another platform. So this will help.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, all of the ones that we're kind of talking about, I think the idea is to help content creators be more productive and save time. Like, that's the bottom line, is like ways to save time. And the other thing might be to increase quality, which takes me to the next one, which most people have probably heard of, but I have to say I do use it. I think it's a very high quality tool, which is Grammarly. I think most people have heard of it. They advertise a ton everywhere, but It basically helps you compose more clear, mistake-free writing. Again, it uses like AI. It's a writing assistant. Fun fact, I'm not great at grammar. So this is huge to just be another set of eyes on top of just like a basic spell check, particularly in emails. So I think this is just like a good way to, my favorite thing about it is it makes emails and writing more concise. It cuts out all of those like fluffy filler words that we kind of just put in. So yeah, have you used it before?
Oh, absolutely. I use it religiously. I think whenever I write a bit of text, the first thing I'll do is copy and paste a paragraph into Grammarly. And then immediately, I think, because also the way the tool is designed, it's when you're writing something, say Gmail or whatever, you're distracted by a bunch of UI around it. Grammarly cuts everything out and it's just a plain screen. And so your focus on the text changes as well. So you start noticing your own errors just like in as well. Yeah, no, I absolutely love it as a tool. Especially like I have a tendency to write what they call passively. And so that's just being educated by that and like better ways of just like, you know, making things simple and straight and direct.
Yeah. I think email is an obvious one where people use it. I use it a lot for Medium posts.
Yes,
I'm really trying to just kind of hammer stuff out and get stuff like a draft done. It's basically, you know, when like, you know, this is like dating myself a little bit, but you remember when you used to sell like a version of a document to someone and they would like kind of mark it up and then send it back like before pre-Google Docs. So it basically is just giving you another set of eyes to make sure that what you're writing is clear and you don't have any major errors. Cause I do think that like good writing is something that I've been trying to personally get better at. And I think it matters a lot when you read a really good Medium post. You're like, wow, that was like concise. The messaging was clear. It only took me 5 minutes to read it. And the person comes across looking with like a ton of credibility. So that's just something that I'm always like striving for. So I think Grammarly like, you know, helps you get there. Obviously, if you work for Grammarly and you haven't hit us up for an ad sponsorship, like we'd love to talk about this in every episode moving forward. So if you're listening and you're work for Grammarly, like, you know, send us an email. We'd love to collaborate.
It's a great tool. We'll have a link in the description anyway, because for all of these tools. But yeah, no, I really like it. It's handy. And again, just reiterating what you said, like if you read a blog post and there's a few words that's completely out or something's off, you're immediately reminded that you're reading something, and it distracts you quite a lot. And I, having mentioned this many times before, being dyslexic, that's one thing which I struggle with. Another tool that I used to use quite a bit is on macOS, you have something called Universal Controls, where you can actually get the Mac to read the text back to you. I find that as a tool quite useful as well. So then, because having it read to you allows you to hear, see if it makes sense in as a sentence, because obviously it will pause at full stops and whatever, or periods or whatever. So that's also really useful. I think if they were to combine a speaking element, I'm not sure if they do, then at least you can hear it a few times to see if it actually makes sense in a flow, because that's really important. But yeah, no, I really like Grammarly.
Yeah, Grammarly, easy one. Cool. So we'll tie it up with the last two. Let's quickly talk about Riverside. So Mustafa and I started this podcast, you know, I don't know, half a year ago at this point. And we were looking for a way, we didn't just want to do audio. We're like, if we're going to like, you know, catch up, prep, do these episodes, interview people, it'd be great to have video. Like, it's just crazy in today's age not to have at least video and audio. So finding a solution that was like reasonably priced and gave us high quality video that we could, you know, chop up, cut, and you know, ultimately upload was difficult. But Riverside, I like it a lot. I would give it for the price, and we don't pay a lot. I forget what we pay for annually, but it wasn't anything crazy. The quality is good. The UI is fairly simple. And for the, you know, half dozen guests that we've interviewed, we haven't had a ton of technical issues. So I also think that it's gotten better month over month too. Like, I think maybe they're making performance enhancements. We just noticed today that there was some UI updates, but The one thing that I, when I was thinking about starting a podcast years ago, I said, it just seems like too much work. So I want something that can do a lot of this out of the box for me, especially for people that are doing this as a passion project, side hustle, whatever you want to call it. And I think Riverside gives you the rails to keep it simple, but also have quality in mind. What about you, Mustafa?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think when we're looking at different solutions, OBS kept coming up quite a bit. I think it was OBS and link it to YouTube. But a lot of these tools required a lot of setup and knowledge of the setup. And obviously, we're just doing this on the side for fun more than anything else. So Riverside really made it simple. I mean, you can use it for free. And then if you, the paid service provides the video as well. I think that you have like a certain file space per month that you can get. So, which is quite good if you're just doing an audio podcast, and then you just download it, and you have the studio, which has everybody's recording is separate. And then Riverside can help combine that for you, which is what we do with our videos. Audios, we just download as individual files and then use GarageBand to edit them like that. But yeah, no, it's really, really cool. It's gotten much better over the last few months as we've started using it. So yeah, I definitely recommend if you're interested in creating a podcast.
Any like things you would change about Riverside? Like, I mean, you're the one, the mastermind behind a lot of the editing. Is there anything that could make your creation process easier?
I think if they were to combine some of the video editing tools that we saw earlier with what's called Video or Vid.io.
Yeah. I wish we got closed captioning out of the box. I think that's an easy one that would work.
Yeah.
Would make everything a lot easier.
I think, well, I mean, because we upload stuff to YouTube, I think YouTube may provide some of that as well. But if there was like basic video editing stuff, so if we could put, you know, like when we talk about websites, would be a nicer way to actually screen capture and put stuff in there. You can do a separate video when recording, but sometimes that's a bit of a pain when it comes to the editing process. So a very simple editing tool would be nice. Like if it was even like to the same level as Paint, like on Microsoft Paint, that would be enough just to make it like the whole process. So then you can just download the complete video and upload that direct to YouTube and completely cut out any other video editing thing. And the same with the podcast. So if they just made those editing tools just a bit visual, I think that would make the tool complete. Like then we won't have to, we just record and create and download everything within the tool. And it's all web-based, which is great. So yeah, no, that would be the only thing I would change, I guess.
Yeah, I totally, the web-based piece is so underrated, but being able to quickly copy and paste the URL to guests, like the guest setup to me, just sending a URL, having high quality video audio, they have tech like tests in place as well. So you can validate that like your video looks good, your audio levels are good. So again, for not being experts in podcasting or content creation, best way to kind of get started with very little like onboarding and like ramp up time.
Yeah, I mean, so, our guests have all commented on that. It's like we just send them a link, we press record, they chat, and that's it. They require nothing but a browser and a mic and whatever. So it's been great like for that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. All right, the last one is called Descript. Again, this is another all-in-one audio video editing solution. So I think this would be similar to Riverside, but I think this one had has a little bit more functionality. I haven't let me check out the pricing again. Yeah, so it's roughly for creators, it's $12 a month. For their pro version, it's $24 a month. And then the enterprise price isn't listed, but a lot of it is done on storage and how much video space you're using. So I think that's the main thing to think about. But there's kind of the product's broken up into four features. So there's like podcasting, where again, you have a podcast editor for remote recording collaborations. I think that's basically like the Riverside version. There's a transcription, which brings in the video piece that we were talking about that you can automatically transcribe like what actually is being said in an episode, which is actually very compelling. So you could create an episode, have the audio, add the speaker notes. So it's kind of a summary of each episode. it gives you the ability to screen record, which, you know, I think Riverside does that pretty well. And then I think the one thing that this tool does, in addition, is there's some video editing as well. You can add titles, animation, music. So as Mustafa was just saying, that he has to kind of take the video, export it into a video editing software, like, you know, Final Cut, make edits, and then upload. If you could skip that step of exporting it to another tool and just doing it all in, and then having a button that just says publish to YouTube, so you have that YouTube integration, that would be a dream scenario. So this is just another one to check out. I mean, I don't want to, you know, we've been using Riverside. I don't think we would switch just because of the pricing and it meets our needs currently. But this is kind of the other option that I've seen creators use, a little bit more robust features. Maybe if you've been creating content a little bit longer, this will meet more of your needs.
Yeah, no, I have seen this before, because you can edit the audio by editing the text, because what it does, it transcribes everything that's said in the podcast. So you can delete bits of text and it will edit the audio equipment. So that's quite magical, actually. We should maybe try recording an episode and just compare. It'll be interesting to try out. Yeah, maybe we should try the free one. We'll try this for sometime.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much, those are the ones that we wanted to talk about today. So just in summary, we had video, V-E-E-D-I-O for auto captioning, generating subtitles, conversion.ai writes copy for you using, you know, artificial intelligence called Jarvis. There's good sales emails. So if you're looking to, you know, get ad deals, sell your product or service, make better newsletters, they give you campaign templates for emails. Pixel Hunter, that's just the drop an image in, resize for all social. Grammarly, write better copy, spell check, write more concisely, use Grammarly. And then there's the two last ones we talked about. Riverside, which is what we use for our podcast to record both audio and video. And then Descript, which is the one we just talked about, which does kind of audio, video, as well as transcribing. So a lot of good options here. If we missed anything, like Mustafa and I are, again, like kind of new to the game. So if there's other things that you use in your daily workflow, comment in on our YouTube video. So this will be on YouTube. So if you haven't done so, jump over to YouTube, hit the subscribe button, leave us a comment of your favorite tools. And then we'll try to give a follow-up in a couple of weeks on some of these and whether or not they were actually helpful. But that's our list. Anything else, Mustafa?
No, that sounds great.
All right, cool. All right, thanks everyone for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one.
Take care.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Design Huddle. The opinions expressed are solely our own and do not express the views or opinions of our employer.